Excellent. All right. So I am Megan Cox. I am the Division Manager for Grants, Internal Audit, and Financial Analysis here at the Department of Finance and Procurement. And with me, we have Barb Lawrence and Andrea Pineda, who will be walking us through the third in our series of Loudoun County Grant Application Training. We've already looked at building a compelling narrative as well as some data use, data collection, and analysis for grant applications. This training will focus on two aspects. The first is reporting for your grants that you may already have, either with the county or in general. And then second, we will be discussing the fiscal year 2026 Restricted Transient Occupancy Tax Tourism Manual and walk you through the grants management software. So if you have questions, please place them in the chat. We will be pausing for questions as we move through the presentation. And if you haven't already, please place your name and your organization in the chat. And we will turn this over to Andrea.
Sorry, I just logged back on. It exited me out for some reason.
Oh, no.
I just jumped back on. Good morning, everyone. So in this section, I'm going to go over some reporting best practices as well as what can you expect from the funder as far as reporting. So in the previous sessions, we touched on the importance of detailed data collection and budgets as far as establishing trust between you as the grantee and the funder. And we also talked about how demonstrating that these expenses and activities were justified and necessary and impactful. If you didn't attend either of those sessions and you are interested in receiving the presentation for those, you could put your name and best email address in the chat and we can send that to you. So continuing on that note of establishing trust and accountability between you as the grantee and the funder, in the post-award phase of the grant cycle, reporting is a crucial component of grant management. It accomplishes all three of those goals, establishing trust, justifying all of the expenses under the grant, and demonstrating the impact of your work. And it's also a legal requirement under your grant terms. So reporting is part of maintaining compliance with your grant. Grant reporting can provide funders with additional insight into the gaps in service that maybe exceed the capacity of the grant and maybe an additional service that in a service area that needs new funding. Lastly, grant reporting can strengthen your organization's reputation as an effective grant steward and increase the likelihood that you receive funding from them in the future. At the time of your grant award, or even before applying, you should have been made aware of the reporting requirements attached to this grant. Every grant report will be guided by the project proposal and grant agreement. And as part of this agreement, you are given a project where you're proposing a project where all the funded project activities must be completed. This would be the performance period. So this is the time frame where you are to complete all of the activities. There might be several timelines within that project. However, the performance period would be the entire time frame where you are supposed to complete the entire project. You should also understand that there may be several reporting periods you are to follow. So, for example, some grants require you to report on a quarterly basis. Some grants may require you to provide a mid-year report and just a final report. The reporting period is the time frame where you are to report on the activities that happened in that period of time. So if this were a final report, you are going to report on all the activities, even if you've already reported on them in previous reports. If this were a mid-year report, you're only going to report that probably half of that grant award time frame. You want to make sure that you are giving accurate data within that reporting period. Performance indicators. So within your project proposal, approved project proposal, and even your grant award, there are performance indicators, which are quantifiable measures to track the performance and the progress of your grant, of the activities under your grant. So these may look like, number of activities done or number of clients you may have served, or changes to, for example, if this has to do with early childhood development training, so this might look like changes to knowledge and understanding of, key early childhood best practices, things like that. So you want to make sure that you know what your performance indicators are, so that you can include all of this data in your reports. Lastly, the report due dates. So these are just the dates where you actually have to turn your reports in. You don't want to report on, you want to make sure that you're reporting on the activities within your reporting period, but that you're actually turning these in, these reports in on time. Usually the report due dates will be a few weeks after the reporting period to give your organization some time to gather all of this information. And again, maintaining a good grant management process and calendar can help ensure that you manage all of these timeframes accurately. In the next section, I just want to go over a few best practices without going too far into grant reporting. So you should already have this in mind before you even apply for a grant. But these are just a few key best practices that you should be that should guide your reporting. So all the reports, all the components within your report should be clear and directly related to the funded award, or somehow tie into the work that the grant is funding. I'll discuss performance indicators a little bit more on the next slide, but basically, you want to make sure that everything you're reporting on is relevant to the actual grant. The idea is that you share as much information as possible about the activities that you conducted, but make sure not to include any irrelevant information. So unless it's impacting the work that you're doing. So for example, if your funded project is part of an ongoing program that serves various counties, but the funded project is intended to serve a specific county like Loudoun County, you want to make sure that you have a way of tracking that data and that you report on only the outcomes for the county, because although you might have had certain results for another county, you don't want to include this in that report. You should also be able to use quantitative and qualitative data to demonstrate the progress you've made in accomplishing your program goals and objectives, and have a system for established for tracking this. Again, if you want to look at the data session, that goes a little bit more into that data tracking and quantitative and qualitative data. You also want to be very honest and forthcoming with your funder. Make sure that you have ongoing communication. This really helps establish trust between you and the funder, and it really helps build on your reputation as an organization. So if there are any variances in your grant project, if there are any changes as far as where you should be maybe you expected to deliver training to X amount of clients, but however, due to external factors or other challenges, you weren't able to do that. You want to make sure that you're accurately reporting on this in your in your report. And if there are any issues with it, make sure that you speak to your grant contact, like your program manager or grant manager, as soon as possible. And again, the more transparent, honest you are with the funder, you know, they certainly will honor that. They want to see you succeed. They want to see your project succeed. So most likely they'll work with you to continue implementing that project. However, not reporting on any big changes or even abusing this might result in termination of your grant award. And so you definitely don't want that. Depending on the report format required by the funder, usually you have an opportunity to submit any visuals, like maybe any pictures of events that took place. If it's possible, provide charts or graphs. Those can really help illustrate the impact of your work. Maybe these could be as attachments. If you're submitting the reports in a grant portal, you could include these as attachments. So when possible, using visuals could really bring your report story to life. Many funders don't have the opportunity to conduct site visits or attend the events that are part of the activities under your project. So including these visuals can really help, you know, bring the impact of your work to life. So lastly, as you write the report, use predictive analysis to demonstrate to funders that based on the outcomes, successes, and even challenges of the project, this project works. And this project is needed beyond the grant period. Next slide, please. So depending on the report format required by the funder, you'll typically see these components. There'll be these categories that you'll report on. So the project outputs and outcomes, challenges, successes, lessons learned, and sometimes you'll be required to include financial updates related to your award. So for project outputs and outcomes, you're going to provide an update for the approved project outputs and outcomes as demonstrated by the key performance indicators that are outlined in your grant award. And you want to include, as I mentioned before, accurate data with an explanation for any variance between the expected results and then the actual results. Include any relevant evaluation results or maybe surveys that you've done, like pre and post tests, that can be included in that section. Anything that can really demonstrate the impact of your work. In the challenges section, you're going to communicate any barriers or challenges your organization or clients may have faced in the process of implementing this project. So this can be external factors, as I mentioned before. For example, if your clients had difficulty attending a workforce development training because they didn't have reliable transportation, or if they were attending it virtually, if they didn't have access to internet or a device to use to access these type of trainings, this can be an external factor, and it can even highlight that additional need for that population you're serving. In the successes section, this is the best part where your organization really gets to brag about the work that you've done and demonstrate to the funder, you know, all the highlights throughout your grant period. So you really want to demonstrate any outcomes that might have exceeded your expectations. And this is the section to have testimonials. Testimonials are really impactful as far as storytelling. This could be maybe a success story from a client or something that maybe a program coordinator experienced from the clients you served. So really use as much as much information as is allowed to demonstrate all the good that your organization accomplished during that grant period. In the lessons learned, you can actually expand on the challenges that you included in the challenges section. So in the challenges section, you were talking about what didn't work, what barriers were there. But in the lessons learned, you demonstrate to the funder that you were able to overcome this and what solutions you actually implemented, what response your organization had to that barrier. So this is what you want to include in the lessons learned section, as well as any type of changes that your organization is going to implement as a result of those barriers or any other needs you might have seen, what type of changes you're going to do in the future. So this could be a part of your lessons learned. It could also be a good thing. It might not even be something related to challenges. It could just be we learned that, something positive as well. In the financials section, you might not always have to report on this, but certainly make sure that you know what is you're expected from you before you even enter into a grant agreement. Typically, financials that are expected from grantees as far as reports would be budget versus actuals, expense reports, any support documentation, and I'll go more into that in the next section, but these are the type of financials that you would be expected to report on. So in this section, without going too far into financial management, being that this is just a small best practices reminder for you all, but some things that you should really keep in mind when thinking about what you're going to be reporting on as far as financials. You want to make sure that your organization has a solid financial management system in place, whether that is a separate accountant, which would be ideal. However, for many nonprofits, that's just not feasible. But having a designated person and an established system for managing all the funds that are coming in from this grant is really key. And making sure that you have a system for tracking all of your expenses. Usually this will be a financial management or accounting software. And next, you want to make sure that you are tracking all the expenses related to the project separate from any other expenses. So you may have multiple awards or multiple projects going on, making sure that you have a way of keeping track of those and that you are not, for example, if there are any payments going out, these need to be separated and these need to be stored and tracked separately so that there is no conflict at the time of reporting. And then you want to make sure that you're doing a monthly reconciliation. So making sure that everything matches, that all the expenses related to the project, you're tracking them on a monthly basis and making sure that you have the documentation for that. And if possible, segregating duties for any invoice approvals and payments is really important because there can be some potential accounting errors or conflicts of interest as a result of having just one person doing all of this. Having a designated person to do the approval of invoices and then another person do send out payments related to your grant can really ensure that you avoid any errors. And it's a really good practice to have, particularly if your organization gets audited. And lastly, again, maintaining detailed documentation related to the grant. This includes any receipts, timesheets for staff, pay stubs, invoices, any procurement documents. If there are any changes to your project budget or to your overall project and you've had an amendment, a signed amendment done, you want to make sure that you keep track of all of that and that you're aware of all of the fine print related to that. So maintaining files related to the entire, anything related to the grant is really important, and that all of the documentation that your organization that is part of your organization's process is consistent and accurate. So having templates for your invoices and timesheets, things like that, is really important to having a streamlined process, and also demonstrates to the funder that you know what you're doing, you can manage the funds well, and that you're a trustworthy steward of these funds. So in the next section, Barb is going to go over the RTOT grant and what specific type of financial documentation and reporting requirements related to that grant are. But before we go into that, I just want to leave some space for any questions.
If you do have questions, please either place them in the chat or unmute your line and just announce who you are and what your question is.
Hello, this is Donald Imhoff from the George C. Marshall International Center. Unfortunately, I didn't make the last session two due to an emergency at my house. So was there a recommended system or systems to do all the tracking that you're mentioning?
So there are actually several systems that we can recommend. In terms of your needs, it's really going to depend on the needs of your organization and whether or not there's cost involved, et cetera. But we can certainly provide a list of known systems for you and can also provide those to the group as a whole. Yeah.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Sure. Other questions? All right, we'll turn it over to Barb.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Megan. Thank you, Andrea. Good morning, everybody. I'm Barb Lawrence. I'm the Grants Manager in the Department of Finance and Procurement. Welcome to our training. If we can go to the next slide, I'm going to introduce the FY26 RTOT. So the overview of the Restricted Tourism Occupancy Tax Tourism Grant Program. In Loudoun County's FY26 budget, it includes funds that can be allocated to organizations for proposals that provide tourism services or activities consistent with the county's Restricted Transient Occupancy Tax funding policy and the Code of Virginia. This program is designed to support local tourism activities and events that drive tourism to Loudoun County. To fund events or programs which further the board's funding policy, is to provide Loudoun County Board of Supervisors with the opportunity to strategically and proactively impact tourism in Loudoun County through the sustained investment in the provision of core tourism services, and to enable targeted investment in high priority tourism products or projects that advance Loudoun strategic tourism objectives. And this also maximizes tax relief to the general fund by increasing the RTOT revenues. All funding proposals must comply with eligibility requirements for the restricted TOT funds, which are outlined as mentioned in the Virginia code, which states, in short, transient occupancy tax shall be designated and spent solely for tourism and travel, marketing of tourism, or initiatives that attract travelers to the locality, increase occupancy at lodging properties, and generate tourism revenues in the locality. So next slide. Eligibility criteria in order to be able to apply for funds under this opportunity, organizations must be nonprofits who operate within Loudoun County, county municipalities, and or local businesses. This is a competitive grant fund that can be designated and spent for any of the following tourism activities: marketing of events and programs to attract visitors, initiatives that attract visitors to the locality, initiatives that drive demand for and increase occupancy at lodging properties, or initiatives that drive spending and generate revenue in the locality through tourism. Next slide. Allowable expenses include the following: creation and distribution of promotional materials, development and execution of data collection methods, marketing and advertising expenses, print, digital, and social media campaigns, community engagement and development of local partnerships, and public relations. Unallowable expenses include corporate debts, contributions and donations, entertainment costs, fines and penalties, interest and other financial costs, legislative expenses, and brick and mortar expenses. There are funding limits and expectations. The maximum award for FY26 is $25,000. So you can apply anywhere between $100 up to $25,000. Events and initiatives should directly lead to increased tourism activity in the county, which includes visits to the county from travelers from at least 40 miles outside the county borders, overnight stays at county lodgings, and spending at the event and or at county businesses. Are there any questions regarding the RTOT opportunity? We will get a little bit more into the application process shortly, but just wanted to see if there are any questions at this point.
Hello, this is Don Imhoff again from George C. Marshall. Is there, with this maximum award of $25,000, will the evaluators kind of lean more towards those proposals that are a lot less than $25,000 versus $25,000, or should I feel free to if I have it justified, of course, to go for the full $25,000?
I think you are justified to go for the full $40,000 or $25,000. Showing that through your proposal, and then also a budget justification where there are real costs associated. But certainly there is no favoritism, for the lack of a better word, for a proposal that could be $10,000 versus a $25,000.
Thank you.
Yes. Any other questions? Okay. With that, we'll go into, should you receive funding through this opportunity, there are two reporting requirements. Initially, you will have to sign an MOU with the county. That's part of the requirements, and then two reports, an expenditure report and a final report, which is more of a narrative describing the successes and challenges of your event or your initiative. The expense report, which is shown here, just outlines your proposed budget, and then it shows the expenses against your proposed budget. This will be due 30 days after the completion of an event. So if your event is in October, we would expect your final reports to be 30 days after the completion of your event, or by June 30th of 2026. The fiscal year, the period of performance for these funds is July 1st of 2025. Through June 30th of 2026. So then if you had an initiative that took the whole period of performance, you would have those 30 days to complete both of these reports. All funded organizations will be required to complete this expenditure report, which again details your budget and then actual expenses. If funded and for any reason your organization thinks you may not spend the funds for the approved purchase or purpose, you may be underspent, please reach out to county staff immediately. We want you to be successful in your events and your projects that you're being funded for. So if there's any issues along the way, please reach out to staff. The second report is a final report. Again, this will be due 30 days after the event, or July 30th. The final report is more of a narrative report that talks about your successes, your challenges. It also provides data, final attendance numbers, what was the impact to the community, how many overnight stays did you have, and what value did you add by having this event or this initiative. Now we will go into the application itself. So once you click into the application, and I'm going to do that now. So, second. Can you see my screen? Excellent. So once you click into this Loudoun.gov grant opportunities, you're going to come up to this page on Loudoun County's website. So here it has several grant opportunities and information for you. This particular opportunity is under the tourism grants. So it has some general information about it, and then how to apply. So we have published a manual, which is available here. The manual details kind of what I just went over on the slides a little bit more in detail. And this is where you will also find the PowerPoint presentation we'll supply, as well as recording from today's webinar. But to apply, you click into this link. And this is what we'll show. We recommend that you download the application. It will be in a PDF, but you'll be able to at least see what the application looks like before you start inputting information. But when you go to apply, you click the apply button and it'll come up. If you've already registered in the system, it'll automatically bring that up. If you have not, you will have to click the register button and register your organization within the AmpliFund system. Once you do that, you will then be able to apply. I'm just going to go ahead and log in. And again, this same screen comes up, so I will hit apply. And this is kind of the landing page, for lack of a better word, for the opportunity. And we have four sections: the opportunity details, the project information, the application form, the budget, and then the submit button. So I'm just going to go ahead and we're just going to do a test just to walk you through. The award requested needs to match what is in your budget. So I'm going to put my $25,000 here. And you'll see once we get to the budget piece, they will need to match. So I'm just going to plug in my address information. And this is all you need to have for this first opportunity details button. So once I'm done, I'm going to mark complete. It'll show that the item was successfully saved. And it'll come up, it'll show a check mark in the box. This will then allow you to move to the project information. Again, it's just detailed information here. I'm just going to save and continue. And that's going to mark as complete with a check mark. It'll automatically bring you to the application forms. So I'm going to click in to the application form. And this is where it's going to break down into kind of three separate categories of the application. It's going to have your organization information, where you provide basic information, including contact information, your federal tax ID number, authorizing point of contact, and a brief overview of your request. It will also include proposal information. This is specific event or initiative information that's requested as part of the funding application. We have a required attachment, which is to provide a clear, cohesive marketing plan or strategy that's going to promote your event or initiative. And then the last part is the budget narrative. So we'll just quickly walk through these sections so you can see all of the areas that have an asterisk are required. Are required for you to complete. So I'll just scroll down to where we are. You can see that if you've already completed an application, it'll automatically fill for you. Application contact information, you only complete this if it's different than what you've completed above. Here we're just going to put in an overview, just a couple, one sentence, two sentence brief overview of what you're applying for, what your event is. If you've applied for funding through this opportunity before, we want you to know that, so either a yes or no. And now here we get into the specific proposal information. So we're really asking for details about what you're requesting your funding for. So again, describing your organization, notable accomplishments, information reflecting prior RTOT funding, and other funding that we want to have here. So again, we're just going to put in so we can test it. Please describe your proposed initiative or event, include a detailed timeline. Three, explain how your funding proposal satisfies the eligibility requirements for the RTOT fund. And here we list the code that you can reference. Here we want to select all eligible activities that are included. So are you applying for advertising funds? What does that look like? Print material? Are you going to apply for some equipment? Check all that apply to your request. And then number four, how will your event or initiative result in increased spending by visitors to Loudoun County? And then tell us how you're going to measure that increased spending and provide the data to support your response. Providing that data is critical and important. Providing it here, and then we'll also look at it in that final report to see how you're able to measure it and how did that compare. Question five, how many out of county visitors did you estimate this event or initiative will generate, and from what jurisdictions? Where did those folks come from outside of Loudoun County? How did you develop this estimate? And then again, provide data to support your response. Number six, how many estimated overnight visitors and hotel room nights will this event generate? And for the purpose of this grant, overnight visitors are considered those whose zip codes are 40 miles or more outside of the county. Again, tell us how did you develop this estimate? What was your plan for collecting data regarding total hotel nights or other tourism revenues? How will attendance metrics such as out-of-state and out-of-county visitors be tracked? Please describe your methodology, metrics, and targets for collecting data that measure your outcomes. So how are you going to track people coming to your event? Are you going to have people walking around with an iPad, collecting information, names and zip codes? Are you going to have wristbands? Are you going to have volunteers looking at license plates in the parking lot? What are those metrics that you're going to use to track your visitors? Question 8, describe the steps taken to determine if there are Loudoun County lodging rooms available to accommodate your event or initiative. How will you encourage event participants and attendees to stay in county lodging facilities? What direct action have you taken to secure Loudoun County lodging for attendees? And here we also ask you to work with Visit Loudoun. They can help you secure some of that and help you get those accommodations locked down. 9, how will residents of other areas learn of your event or initiative? Again, how are you going to do that outreach and marketing? Explain the methodology and data sources you use to identify the audiences interested in your message. Describe your methodology for selecting the appropriate media to efficiently reach the audience. So again, what is that data and how are you going to track that? And the last question, if your event or initiative is weather dependent, what is your inclement weather plan? We ask, I apologize, that was not the last question. Is this a new or existing initiative? So we ask you to do that. What other funds, what other sources do you have that have you secured to help with your initiative or your event? We want to know what other sources of funding that you have to support it. So let us know there. Let me put a test here. And then provide a brief narrative describing your budget and expected expenses to support your event or your initiative. So this is just a brief, very general budget narrative, because once we get into the budget, we want you to be a little bit more specific. So it's just a general overview of your budget narrative. Here's where you would put in your marketing plan. So you would choose a file. When you click on choose file, it would open up to your documents on your computer. So you would go to that and you would click open and it automatically uploads there. So again, here, save and continue. We suggest that you save and continue frequently. I'm going to go back to the application form. I'm going to open it and I'm going to scroll back down to the bottom and I'm going to mark it as complete. Once I mark it as complete, oh, and here it shows that I have an error. So I'm going to go and see where my error is. And it's here in question 8. I did not complete. It says here the field is required. So I did not complete that. So that will show an error if you leave anything out that's required. So I'll go back down, I'll mark as complete, and it's been successfully saved. So once I go back up, I can move to the budget, and it'll show here that my application forms is now, it's now complete. Which brings us to the budget. We have 3 budget categories that you can complete. We have the marketing and advertising. So this would include print, video, and digital. Include social media campaigns, television, radio, print, and advertising. We have creation and execution of data collection methods. This includes the creation and distribution of surveys, online collection software, expenses related to event volunteers who collect data from attendees, etc. We have community engagement and public partnerships. These are any expenses related to cultivating partnerships, sponsorships, or other community engagement. And then we have event-centric expenses. This includes signage and other promotional expenditures. again, complete this for the grant program dollars that you are requesting. For example, if your total project budget is $350,000 and you're requesting $25,000 from the county, your budget should reflect that $25,000, not the overall budget. So just what you're asking from the county through this opportunity. So with the budget, these marks here, we'll click on those. It will open up that specific form. It'll ask you to name what that is. So give a name to it. So it could be social media. And then put the direct cost. For this purpose, I'm going to put my total costs in this specific line item. And then here, be direct and be very specific about what this is. So you're going to buy 10 social media buys at $50 per buy, et cetera. Be very specific about the cost and also the number. So that's where you would put your specific budget narrative there versus your general budget that we talked about previously. So once you have that in, you hit create, and it'll show that line item there. Once that is done, it'll show that if I'm over or under, it'll show here the difference that I have to make up. And the $25,000 is matching what you showed on the project information, that budget number as well. So the two have to align and match. So I'm just going to hit save and continue. I'm going to go back to my budget. I'm going to mark as complete. So each time you complete the section, make sure you mark as complete. It'll save successfully. And when I move to submit, the budget will show. So everything is checked. Everything's ready to be submitted. I'll pause right there for any questions that anybody might have.
Hi, this is Don Imhoff. Is it possible to submit a proposal and the funding, the grant funding, completely pays for the event? So I'm proposing something that costs $15,000 and I submit a grant proposal for $15,000. It doesn't have to be a $100,000 program of which I'm Does it have to be a $100,000 program or something larger, and then I'm requesting for some partial funding for it?
Absolutely not. You can request, if your event or initiative is $15,000, you can request the $15,000. It does not have to be more than that. Again, you would just show the relevant expenses to justify the $15,000, but absolutely not. You can apply for what the event or what the initiative costs.
Yeah, and I would just also make sure to be aware that it must align with the tourism activities in Virginia code. So increases in hotel stays, increases to patronage of businesses, et cetera. You'll just have to make that clear.
A follow-on question. Is there any guidance on how many hospitality partners we should have that are hotels and B&Bs and restaurants and so forth?
No, there's not a requirement for the number of partnerships that you have. You can certainly drive people to one hotel or one bed and breakfast. You can certainly drive them to one, if indeed that's works and that's convenient for your event or your initiative. So there's no requirement or real guidance around that. Just as long as you're driving the tourism into the county.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? If not, we'll just, I'll finish on the screen here. So once you have all of the buttons completed, you'll come to this submit sign or submit page, and we'll go ahead and hit submit. And once that does, success. Your application has been submitted. We encourage you to download your application here. It'll pull up a PDF that you can have for your files. Once, however, you have established an account within the AmpliFund Grants Management System, the application will be there each time that you log into the system. So that is the application process itself. I'm going to stop sharing my screen. And with that, just a quick process overview. The online application is due Friday, April 4th by 4 o'clock p.m. If you have any questions after today's webinar, feel free to email them to grants@loudoun.gov, and we will respond to those questions as soon as we're able. We will also post the questions online to the webpage on loudouncounty.gov. And then awards will be recommended to the Board of Supervisors Finance Committee in June of 2025. With that, we will take more questions.
And Barb, we do have one question from the Loudoun Arts Council, and this may be a specific offline question because it's specific to their process. So I just wanted to make sure that we capture that to follow up.
Excellent. I will follow up directly. Thank you.
I'm going to stop the recording.